All right. Well, good afternoon and welcome. For those of you that I may not have had the chance to meet yet, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And I have to be honest with you. It's been kind of an interesting week for me coming out of last week's conversation because I've had a few people reach out to me about the content of last week's conversation. I've had many, many, many people reach out to me about how good lentils taste. And I'm just hoping that the point of the conversation got across last week. If today's your first time with us or you haven't been with us for a couple of weeks, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to our previous conversations inside of this current series, because for the last couple of weeks, we've been walking through what we're calling between Instagrams, and we're looking at how our culture chases this idea of the best life. And for our culture, that really means chasing the highlights, chasing whatever Instagram posts we can find, those highlights of life and displaying how great our life is to the world around us. And we've been looking at how God steps into our story and says, be very, very careful about what it is that you chase. And the reality is that God, as he adopts us into his family, he says, listen, I'm working through all things for your good. God wants for you to experience what he created you for. He wants you to be able to experience the best that he created you for. But as our Father, as he's instructing us and guiding us and directing us, he says, don't just chase whatever highlight there is. He says, no, 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 you have to be very careful with the choices that you make about what you pursue and make sure that you're pursuing what I'm calling you to, because some moments aren't compatible with others. And in week one, we talked about that and looking at, okay, what are the moments that we're chasing, and is it what God has for us, or have we bought into that best life idea and we're just trying to experience as many highlights as possible? And then in week two, we looked at how our dad teaches us to be careful with how we engage those moments where it doesn't look like there's going to be another highlight, where it looks like it's just crumbling, and how our Father teaches us to endure in those moments, because oftentimes in those moments, he's preparing us for our future and what he does have in store for us. And then last week, we looked at how our dad is teaching us to be careful in those moments of craving, and to make sure that we don't allow a moment of craving to keep us from the future that he has for us. And this week, what I want to do is I want to build on that. And for those of you, again, who haven't been with us or who haven't been a part of Hoboken Grace in the past, you have to understand that one of the underlying kind of foundational, fundamental principles of this entire conversation is that we believe that Jesus gave his life for you to be adopted into God's family. And that God, as he steps into our story, he wants to be our dad, that he wants to be our Father. And so what we're walking through here is really our Father instructing us as his kids. God's calling us together and saying, okay, listen, pay attention to this and watch out for this because of the fact that I have something in store for you that I want to make sure that you live and experience. And so today we're continuing to build on that. And again, I want to take you to a story from the history of the nation of Israel, and our dad, as he gave us the scriptures, he's given us all of these amazing stories that are meant to guide and direct us. And I want to take you to the story of an individual that is, if not the, one of the greatest leaders in the history of the nation of Israel. His name is Moses. Some of you may have heard his name before. Maybe you don't know his story, but he is incredibly famous because Moses actually led the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt up to the promised land. He's a phenomenally significant figure in their history. A little bit of the backstory of Moses' story before we dive in where we're going to dive in. Moses was actually born to a Hebrew slave family, but he was rescued by the daughter of Pharaoh because at the time it was illegal to allow a Hebrew baby boy to live. Midwives were instructed that if a Hebrew baby boy was born, they were to be put to death immediately. But through a really amazing story, Moses is rescued by the daughter of Pharaoh and brought to live inside of the palace. He actually grows up inside of Pharaoh's household, which is it's kind of an amazing thing. It's really encouraging for those of you who are here who might be parents, because as you read through the story, you see that not only, like, not even Pharaoh could tell his daughter what to do. And so she rescues this Hebrew baby boy, and he grows up inside of Pharaoh's household, but Moses knows who he is. And one day he actually stands up for the Hebrew slaves. And in defending this Hebrew slave who's being beaten, Moses kills this guard. And Pharaoh decides, no, 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 you don't get to do that. And so he threatens his life. Moses has to flee from Egypt. And when Moses flees Egypt, it looks like his story's kind of come to an end. And I think in Moses' mind, that was his reality. He settles into just being a shepherd. And that's where we pick up his story today. I want to take you to it. It's found in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to start off in verse 1. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock." Again, he's kind of settled in. He's going to be a shepherd. This is who he is now. This is what he does now. And if that wasn't bad enough, listen to how it continues. It says, "Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." Not only is he a shepherd, but now he's working for his father-in-law, which is every man's dream. Every man's dream. And so he's working for his father-in-law, and he's leading these sheep around the wilderness. If you don't know anything about sheep, just know this. They're really, really, really dumb. And Moses doesn't know this, but in this moment, again, just like we talked about with Joseph a couple weeks ago, in this moment, God's actually preparing Moses for his future, for when he's going to lead people around the wilderness. And as you work through the scriptures, there's this constant comparison between sheep and people, because cute but stupid, we have that in common. And so God is preparing him for his future, and then something amazing happens. It says, "And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.'" So he's out there and he's leading these sheep through the wilderness, and he sees this bush on fire. And typically when you see something on fire, what do you do? You move away from it. But Moses decides, no, I'm not going to move away from it. I'm going to move towards it. Some of you are like that in your life. I just want to encourage you with this passage, because Moses was like that too. You're insatiably curious, and when you should probably move away from something, you move towards it. I just want to encourage you, because I know that's probably gotten you into a lot of bad things in the past. God uses people like this in really powerful ways. Don't give up. Okay? Don't give up. God uses people like this in really powerful ways. David was that way. Paul was that way. That curiosity that sometimes can get you in trouble and take you in the wrong direction, God loves to be able to use that in people's lives. And so Moses, rather than going away from it, he moves towards it. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." We don't have time to spend a lot of time with this, but this is a recurring theme. As you're reading through the scriptures, watch for these moments, because one of the things that God is constantly calling us to evaluate in our lives is whether we're making ourselves available to him or whether we're hiding from him. So frequently in scriptures, you'll see God calling out, and you'll see people either hiding or making themselves available to God, and it drastically impacts their experience of him. And God's constantly calling us to evaluate, okay, are we hiding or are we pursuing him? And in this moment, God calls out to Moses, and Moses doesn't hide. He says, no, here I am. And God begins to speak with him. He says, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Say that 5 times fast. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God calls out to Moses. Moses says, here I am. And God says, listen, Moses, listen. I'm going to do something amazing. What you have hoped for your whole life, what you have hoped would happen, I believe what Moses wanted to be part of, which is why he stands up for that slave when he ends up being driven from Egypt. You see, Moses knew who he was. And for those of you who don't know, Moses' family was still in slavery in Egypt. His mom, his dad, his brother, his sister, those are the family members that we know of that were still in Egypt. And God steps into Moses' life and is like, Moses, what you have been praying for, what you have hoped for, what my people have been praying for, I'm going to do it. And I have to imagine that as he began the conversation, that Moses was excited, that Moses is like, finally, God's going to actually do it. And so God says, and so here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you. And all of a sudden, the way that Moses felt about the situation changed drastically. And as God started talking, it was, yes. And then God said, so I'm sending you. And Moses said, No. Wait. I like the idea. I like where you're going with this. I want to encourage you in that. But you got the wrong guy. I like the idea, but, and Moses says something that's really telling. He says, who am I? Who am I? And this is something that all of us struggle with. Because whenever you're invited into something, whenever you're challenged with something, the first thing that all of us do, and we've been trained to do this because it's how our world works, the first thing that all of us do is that we evaluate our qualifications. So if someone offers you a job, offers you a position, invites you onto a team, whatever it may be, the first thing that you do is you evaluate your qualifications. You want to make sure that you're qualified for what it is that you're stepping into. And so Moses does the very same thing. And this is the way that life works. And so God says, I'm going to use you. And immediately Moses evaluates his qualifications and he looks at those qualifications and he says, no, not qualified. Not qualified. God, I like the idea, but you've got the wrong guy. And their conversation continues. It says, and God said, and I will be with you. God says, No, I got that, but I'm gonna be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, and I love how he does this because Moses is like, you got the wrong guy, and I mean, who am I going to say sent me? And Moses, as God answers Moses, he answers in a way that actually addresses both questions. He gives his name, but he also is addressing the first thing that Moses said. Listen to how he responds. It says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And in this way, he answers the question of his name, but he also addresses what Moses had said earlier, because Moses said, who am I? I mean, God, I like the idea, but who am I? And God says, no, you're focused on the wrong thing. It's not who am I. I am who. And he takes Moses' objection and he turns it upside down. He says, Moses, what do you mean, who are you? Who cares who you are? No, it's not about who you are. I am who. You're misunderstanding this. The way that this works with me, it doesn't have anything to do with your qualifications. It has everything to do with my qualifications. I'm not inviting you into this because of the fact that you're qualified. I'm inviting you into this because I am phenomenally qualified. I am who? No. Oh, you thought I wanted you to do this for me. No. I am who is going to do this. I am the one who's going to make this happen. I'm inviting you along for the ride, Moses. I am who? And all of us have experienced this with God. If you've ever been in a situation where God's calling you into something, we all do it because it's our default. It's the way that the world works. We look at our qualifications. And undoubtedly, when you look at your qualifications and what God is calling you to, you're never going to feel qualified because you're not. But here's the thing. God's not asking you to do it for him. He's asking you to do it with him. And he's saying, no, I am who. You get to come along for the ride. I never, ever ask my kids to help me with something because they're qualified. I never ask them to help me with something because it will make it easier. It always makes it harder. They're never qualified. They're not qualified for anything. They're barely qualified to feed themselves. Barely. I mean barely. And God says, what do you mean, who are you? No, I am who is going to make this happen. You got this backwards, Moses. I never invite my kids to help me with something because they're qualified. I invite my kids to help me with something because I love to spend time with my kids. And I enjoy watching them learn. And I enjoy watching them slam their thumb with a hammer. It's really funny. I don't invite them into those things for what they're going to do. And listen to me. Listen. God's never invited you into something because you were qualified. Or because he needed you to do something for him. It's because he wanted for you to do something with him. And he wanted for you to experience him in a way that you hadn't before. And he wanted for you to know the incredible joy of him working through you. One of the greatest experiences of your life is when you come out of a season of your life and you look back on it and you say, wow. Wow. Not because of how you and your qualifications made this happen, but because, oh my goodness, look what God did through me. I could never do that. If you've never experienced that in your life, you have to ask yourself, are you only stepping into what you feel qualified for? And if you're only stepping into what you feel qualified for, I would really, really challenge you on whether or not you're really saying yes to God. Because one of the things I see with God over and over again is that he calls us into what we're not qualified for, because it's not about our qualifications, it's about our calling. And he wants for us to experience his love. He wants for us to experience him. He wants for us to experience his power. He wants for us to experience him working through us in ways that we never thought possible. That we never thought possible. And God says, no, it's not who are you. I am who. And I'm going to make this happen. And in my love, in my grace, in my mercy, in my passion for you, Moses, you get to be the one who experiences that. But unfortunately, Moses continues to struggle with the transition from who am I to I am who. And as the conversation continues, they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And God says, no, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to do all these things through you, and I'm going to give you these miraculous signs to show that I'm actually with you. But Moses can't get past his own qualifications. Let me take you just a couple verses later. As the conversation is kind of winding to a close, it says, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. What I love about this is how eloquently he says that he's not a good speaker. I mean, that is well phrased. And he can't get past it. He's drawn back into the qualification conversation. I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified. And he won't make the transition. It says, the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. God's continuing to draw him back to, I am who? I don't need you to have a great speaking ability. I created your mouth. I can speak through you in any way I want to. I am who? But Moses can't let it go. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. Moses says, please send someone else. And in this moment, just to make sure we're all clear and on the same page here. God's not in this moment saying, you're right. You know what? You're right. There is your brother, and he does speak well. He's not acknowledging that Moses is right. What he's doing here is something that terrifies me. And that is this. In this moment, God lets Moses win. God says, okay, Moses, you win. Listen to me. Listen. You never want to win an argument with God. Never. And you may think you do. When you win, you always lose. And in this moment, God says, okay, Moses, you win. You win. What about Aaron? This is why it terrifies me. In this moment, God takes what he had planned for Moses and he gives it to someone else. you don't want to win. You do not want to allow what God has planned for you to be given to someone else. And God says, okay, Moses, I won't force you to take it. If you really don't want it, I'll give it to Aaron. The implications of this moment are devastating. As you read through the rest of the story, Aaron being part of the leadership of the nation of Israel is incredibly destructive. He leads the nation in the wrong way multiple times. It literally costs people their lives because it wasn't meant for him. And throughout the scriptures, you see this story time after time after time after time, where God steps into someone's life and says, this is what I have for you. But rather than them saying yes, they continue to say no, no, no. And finally, God gets to the point where he says, okay, I'll give it to someone else. And the experience that God wanted for them to have of him is lost. You never want the story, your story, that highlight that God's like, no, this is what I want for you. This is what I want for you. And sometimes I experience this with my kids, and I'm like, man, I really want to spend time with my son. And so I go to him, like, listen, let's go do this. I got this. And he's like, well, all these excuses and all this. And I'm like, no, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. No. And I'll get to the point where they're like, all right, fine, I'll take your brother. You never want to win an argument with God. And for some of you right now, God has stepped into your lives and he said, I want to invite you into something. I want to invite you to lead a dinner group. And I'll actually have conversations with people and they'll say this to me. They'll say, but who am I? I mean, who am I to lead a group? Who am I to step into leadership in a team? Who am I to start serving? Who am I to share my story with my coworker? Who am I? I hear it over and over and over again. The question is not who you are. The question is, who is he? And let me ask you something. What can God do through you? When we get stuck on that, who am I? What we're saying to him is that it doesn't matter who you are. And God said, no, stop. You wouldn't believe what I have in store for you. There are things before this whole story started that I planned for you to be a part of. I wrote you into this story on purpose, for a purpose. And I want for you to be able to live that out. And I want for you to be able to experience my love and my grace. And I want you to be able to experience my power in an unbelievable and powerful way. So stop arguing and take advantage of it. Step into it. Seize it. It doesn't matter what your qualifications are. It's not about who I am. It's about who he is. Stop hesitating. Stop questioning. Step into what it is that he's called you to do and to be. Where right now in your life, where right now in your life are you caught up in that question of who am I? Where you're hesitating, you're saying no to God. Where right now are you caught up in that? Would you today, decide. No, no, no. It's not about my qualifications. It's about my calling. And whatever it is that he calls me into, he can do it. And I am not going to miss being along for that ride. I am not going to miss experiencing him in that way, knowing him in that way, being loved by him in that way. It's not about my qualifications. It's about my calling. And he can do anything through me. As limited as I am, he can do anything through me. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we look at this story today, that it would be both a warning and an encouragement. That it would be a sobering reality that you sometimes allow us to win. But more than that, that it would be a phenomenal encouragement, that it's not about our qualifications, that we would let that go, to understand that as we follow you, you can do anything through us. And I pray that we would experience that. Because today, we would answer you with a resounding yes. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.